Welcome to the podcast of Redeemer Baptist Church of Panama. We hope that you enjoy the sermons and other audio provided by us. Feel free to share what you find here, and we hope that it will be beneficial to you as you seek to know and follow Christ.
All right, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we'll be starting in verse 15 today. Do we have any Bob Dylan fans here? Oh, we do have some. We do have some. Good, 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 good. Well, in the late 70s, I know that Bob Dylan became a Christian. And he had at least three albums. And on the first of those albums, he had a song that really, really fits today's text. He won a Grammy for this song. And the song goes, the chorus of it goes something like this. You gotta serve somebody. You gotta serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. The text that we're looking at today basically lets us know we don't have a choice. We're going to be either a slave of sin or we will be a slave of God, a slave of righteousness. Let's go ahead and look at our text beginning in verse 15. Paul writes to the Romans, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that we are here to hear from your word and to encourage one another and to worship you. And Father, we just pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to obey. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have set us free from slavery to sin. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as we fight against it in this life. And as we offer ourselves to you as obedient servants for your glory. Father, we love you, and I pray that you give me strength and grace as I preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this text, we recall some of what we have already seen before in the chapter. The very first thing we see is, what then are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And that reminds us of the last verse that we looked at last week. The last verse from last week said, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." And here, Paul was telling us that one of the reasons why we don't keep on sinning, which is the question he's answering in verse 1, one of the reasons we don't keep on sinning after we've come to know Jesus as our Savior is because we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. As I looked at it last week, I explained that I think this is It's talking about terms of we are no longer under the old covenant law. We are no longer under the Mosaic law. As Paul has already argued, the law, what its power did was it awakened sin in us and wanted and made us want to sin even more. But we are no longer under that system. Now we are under grace. We are under under the new system where Christ has come. He has died for our sins, and now we are set free from sin. We're no longer under its dominion. So then Paul addresses a misunderstanding, and maybe you've heard somebody talk like this before. Well, why don't we just keep on sinning? Because we're not under the law. We're under grace. Maybe you've heard someone say that. Oh, man, you're too legalistic. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Right? Maybe you've heard that before. Paul here answers this objection. Not that we are not under the Mosaic law. We are not under all the rules and regulations of the Old Testament, but there is a sense in which we still need to follow the moral norms of God, what he has revealed in his word. He says here, first of all, he answers the question, by no means. It's the same way he answered the question from verse 1 in the chapter. Remember, a very similar question was asked. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? It's not the same question that we're looking at here, but it's a very similar question. Before, he was saying, you know, in answer to what was in chapter 5, well, you know, if sin caused us, you know, to God to be glorified because he now is able to demonstrate his grace and mercy towards us, then why don't we just sin, right? That's what we looked at in the first 14 verses of this chapter. And Paul there answered by no means. Heck no, okay? No way, Jose, is what he said before. And he says the same thing here. No way. This is not in keeping with the gospel. Instead, verse 16, he answers very similar to the way he did in verse 3. He says, do you not know that if you present yourselves as to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? So first of all, he says, do you not know? Do you not know? And by saying, do you not know, he's assuming you should know this by now. This is the basics. This is not some kind of PhD in theology stuff. This is like the entry door. We should know this by now. So do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Whoever you present yourself to obey, you're their slave. That's what he's saying. And he then spells that out a little bit more. He says, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So he gives us this choice. We're either going to obey the demands and the desires of sin, and if we do so, we're slaves of sin, and we're going to be on a path that leads towards death. Or we will present ourselves to righteousness, here is what he says. To obedience. We're going to, and by obedience, I think he means obedience to God. We're going to either present ourselves for obedience to God, which leads to righteousness, or we will present ourselves to sin, which leads to death. This is very much the point that Bob Dylan was making. We're either going to serve the devil and sin, or we're going to serve the Lord. But we don't have a choice. We're going to serve somebody. That's the point that Paul's making here. Verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching which you were committed. So here, Paul, he has confidence of good things for the believers in Rome that he is speaking to. And he has confidence in that for us. Remember, this book is written to believers. It's not written to unbelievers. He's writing to Christians in Rome. He's talked already about how they have been justified, how they have union with Christ, and all of the benefits that they have in Christ. And so he begin, after talking about we have a choice, we can either serve the devil, we can either serve sin, or we can serve the Lord, we can serve God. After saying that, he says, but thanks be to God because of what he's already taken place. And notice, who's he giving thanks to? It's God. It's God. He's the one who did it. He's the one who rescued us out of the pit. He's the one who pulled us up. He's the one who set us free from sin. He says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin, that's what we used to be. Maybe we can feel it. That's who we used to be. We can think on our life before we were following Christ. We can think about how we were enslaved. That's how we were. But we now have become obedient from the heart. From the heart. This is not any kind of a begrudging obedience. Well, I guess I'm going to get up and go to church now. I don't really want to do this, but God, okay, I'll obey just because you say so. No, that's not the kind of obedience he's talking about here. He says obedience from the heart. From the heart. A willing obedience. That's the kind of obedience that we have. Because we have had a changed heart. Because that is what he gave us. He gave us a new heart and he put his spirit within us so that we have new desires. And so he says we become obedient to the heart, to the standard of teaching to which we were committed. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with our Creator, Redeemer, and our friend, Jesus. But there is teaching involved in it. Some people might say, well, I don't need any of this discipleship. I don't need anybody telling me or anything like that. It's just me and Jesus, and I can get along. But there is a pattern of teaching that has been passed on to us in God's Word. We have been committed. We have been transported from obedience to sin and slavery to sin, and now to obedience to what God has said in His Word. This is obedience, the obedience of faith that I think he talked about in chapter 1. The obedience of faith in the sense that we have become believers. We have trusted in Christ. He has changed our heart. We believe in him. But also, I think this has to do with Jesus' ethical teaching. We are going to follow the commands that Christ has given us. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Here, I think we see the two sides of the coin. The two sides of the coin. We've been set free from sin, and we have become slaves of righteousness. We were once slaves of sin, and now we are slaves of righteousness. We were one way, and now we have turned the other way. We have been set free from sin, and we are slaves of righteousness. Now, Paul acknowledges, I think, here that this is a limited analogy. He says, I'm speaking in human terms. You know, we think of slavery now and we're repulsed, honestly. Of the idea of slavery, we think of American slavery in the South before the Civil War, and we think of all the things that come up with that. And honestly, the idea of slavery and submitting ourselves as slaves to God, it can kind of become difficult for us. And Paul here, I think, acknowledges, hey, I'm speaking in human terms. This is not a perfect analogy, but this is the best thing I can come up with to explain this so that we can, as limited human beings, can understand. He also says he's speaking in human terms because of, let me see here, he's speaking in human terms because, I've lost my place. Because of your natural limitations. Now, in the Greek text, this is literally more like because of the weakness of your flesh. The weakness of your flesh. And so part of this, he's giving this command that we are to offer ourselves as slaves to God because our flesh is weak. It is hard. It is not something that just comes natural. It will take effort. Our flesh is weak. And even Jesus said, as the disciples went to sleep as he was praying, he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we need to be reminded, hey, you've been set free from sin. Now, we're no longer slaves to sin. Now we offer ourselves as slaves to God, servants of righteousness. We're still in verse 19. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Here he finally gets to a command. He gets to a command. First of all, he says, remember how you used to present yourselves to sin? Remember how you used to present yourselves to, he says, uncleanness and lawlessness. And by uncleanness, usually what's talked about is sexual sins of different kinds. By lawlessness, it's sins in general. Remember how you used to present yourselves to them? You were a willing participant, right? You were willing, you were happy to do it, right? In the same way, now we present ourselves as slaves to God, right? In the same way we once presented ourselves as slaves to sin, to impurity, to lawlessness, now we present ourselves as slaves to God. Specifically, let me back up here. He says, now present your members, and before he talked about members, so the parts of our bodies, our members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. As sanctification, we're becoming more holy. We're growing in holiness. We're becoming more like Christ. Now in verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And that can almost sound good. Hey, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But I don't think he means this as a positive thing. We want to be slaves of righteousness. Slaves, being a slave to sin is unsatisfying. Where does it lead? It leads to death. And he follows that up with the next verse, verse 21. But what fruit were you getting at that time for the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We think. He asks his audience, before you knew Christ, whenever you were living that way, when you were willingly offering yourselves as slaves to evil, to Satan, and to the devil, and to sin, when you were willing your offerings, what fruit did that bring? What profit did that give you? The answer is nothing. There was no profit. All we're left with is what he says here, shame. Shame. We're ashamed of the things that we used to do. And ultimately, death. That was what those things would lead to. And now later in the text, it says the wages of sin is death. That's what the prophet, that's what the fruit of those things would eventually be. There would be no fruit. Verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin. Hey, I love to hear that. But now. Hey, that's not who we were. That's not who we are now. That's who we used to be. But now you have become slaves of God. The fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Hey, when we were lost, when we were offering ourselves as slaves to sin, when we were obeying the desires of the flesh, all the fruit we got was shame. All the fruit we got was the path of death. But now, the fruit we have, sanctification. We are being changed into the image of Christ, and eventually that leads to eternal life. Eternal life with Christ. Because we're in union with Christ. And we died with Him. And we're raised with Him. And we will live with Him forever. The final verse. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we often, this is a very familiar verse to most of us. We can think of it as a part of the Romans road to salvation. For the wages, it's one of the first verses I remember ever memorizing. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to remember here, he's directing this at Christians. It kind of gives a new perspective on it. I mean, yes, it's definitely good for evangelism and letting people know, hey, the path you're on is leading to death. But it also helps motivate us in our sanctification. It helps motivate us as we continue to follow Christ. We remember, as we look at the old path that we used to follow, and if we ask ourselves the question, well, why don't I just continue in sin? I'm no longer under the law. I'm under grace. We just remind ourselves, no, that's the path that leads to death. The wages of sin, I've been down that road before. And I know where it goes. And I know where it pays, what it pays. The wages of sin is death. But I'm on a new path. I'm on a new path. The gift of God. Notice the contrast there. The wages, that's what you earn. That's what you earn. The word there in Greek is the term that's used for the wages that would be paid to a soldier. Okay? So it's talking about maybe a military pension. Okay? The wages, that's something you earn. But the free gift of God. Hey, we didn't get this by earning it. We didn't get this from our own works. This is the free gift of God. And we're reminded again of the gospel. We didn't earn this. He found us when we were at our lowest point. He picked us up and He cleansed us and He gave us a new heart. He made us new. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that in Christ Jesus our Lord also reminds us of this union with Christ that we have. We are united to Him in a death like His, and we are united with Him in a resurrection like His. Thanks be to God. You are no longer under the dominion of sin. You are no longer its slaves. And so, because of this teaching that is true, we need to act like we already are. We have been set free, so we no longer allow ourselves to be like slaves.
Thank you for listening to this message from Redeemer Baptist Church of Panama. For more information, please visit us at redeemerbaptistpanama.com. or you can like us on Facebook.